Chapter 6. On the day school closed for the summer, the T. Eaton department store announced it was going to sponsor a pet parade 2 weeks later, and there were going to be prizes for the most interesting pets and the best displays. Bruce was the first of our gang to hear about it, and he came right over to my house to tell Murray and me. "Hey," said Bruce, after he told us all he knew, "with the animals we got, we could win a dozen prizes. What about it?" Marie and I didn't need much convincing. We spent the next couple of days planning what we'd do. First, we decided to hitch Mud and Rex to my old express wagon. We'd fix it up with colored cardboard and stuff so it looked like a circus wagon. We planned to put an old fur muff of my mother's around Mutt's neck to make him look like a lion. And we were going to paint black stripes on Rex so he'd look like a zebra. Then we decided to build a circus cage on the wagon and fill it with different kinds of gophers. Finally, we decided to have the owls riding on top of the cage, all dressed up in doll's clothes. We had 2 weeks to get things ready, and we really worked. First, we built the circus cage, and when we were finished, it looked just like a real one that used to come to Saskatoon with Barnum and Bailey's Circus every summer. Ours wasn't as strong, though, because the sides were only cardboard, painted red and blue and yellow. And instead of iron bars, we used chicken wire to keep the gophers from getting out. When it was finished, we made a hike out to the bluffs near the exhibition grounds, because that was a good place to find wood gophers. We caught 6 of them, and on the way home we snared about a dozen striped gophers that were living in a cut bank by the roadside. Together with the 30 ordinary gophers we already had, this added up to an awful lot of gophers, and there wasn't going to be room for all of them in one circus cage. Murray fixed that. "Why don't we make another cage out of my wagon?" he suggested. "Then we'd have twice as much chance to win first prize." It was a dandy idea, so we went ahead and built the second cage. Then, we decided to put some of our white rats in with the extra gophers in a second one, and make it different. The day before the parade, which was on Saturday, we had everything ready. I had borrowed some doll clothes from Faith Honigan, who lived on the next block. Murray had got some washable sign paint from his dad so he could paint the black stripes on Rex. We'd found a set of real dog harnesses for Mutt, and we made a second one for Rex out of twine. The cage wagons were all finished and stored away in our garage so they wouldn't get wet if it rained. On Sunday morning, I didn't even wait to eat my breakfast before I rushed out to the garage. Murray was already there, but Bruce didn't come along for about an hour, and we were getting worried he might not make it at all. By the time he showed up, we had the gophers and the white rats all loaded, and I was trying to get the doll's clothes on the owls. Bruce came into the yard with a shoebox under his arm and a big grin on his face. "Hey," he shouted, "I guess I'll win first prize for sure. Bet you can't guess what I have in this box." Murray and I couldn't guess. I shook the box a couple of times, and whatever was inside was pretty heavy. I was just going to untie the string and open it when Bruce grabbed it away from me. "No, sir," he said, "don't you do that. We might never catch this critter again." "Oh, come on," I begged him. "What have you got in there anyway? Come on, Brucey, you have to tell us." "Don't have to, don't aim to," Bruce said. "Just you wait and see." Murray and I pretended we didn't care what he had in his shoebox anyway. I went back to putting the doll's clothes on the owls, and it wasn't easy. Weeps just stood there and whimpered while I pulled a pink dress over his head and pinned a floppy hat on him. But Wall took one look at the sailor suit I had for him, and then he rumpled himself up into a ball and began to clack his beak and hiss. It took two of us to hold him down while I got him dressed, and by the time we were finished, he was in a terrible temper. We couldn't trust him to stay quiet on the wagon top after all that fuss, so we decided to tie him to it with some twine around his legs. That made him madder still. While Bruce and I were working on the owls, Murray was trying to paint the stripes on Rex. Rex didn't like it, and there was about as much black paint on Murray as on the dog. Then Murray said he might as well finish what Rex had started, so he smeared black paint all over his own face and said he would go down in the parade as a Zulu warrior. Just before we got ready to start for downtown, Bruce took the paintbrush and painted some words on the shoebox. Then he tied the box on top of the second wagon. What he printed was, "Surprise pet, do not feed." We harnessed up the dogs with Mutt leading, because he knew how to pull in harness, and Rex didn't. Rex didn't seem to want to learn, either. He kept pulling off to one side. Every time he did it, he almost upset the wagons. We had an awful time getting our outfit all the way downtown, and we were nearly late for the parade, which started at 10 o'clock. One thing, though, by the time we did get there, old Rex was just about worn out, and he'd stopped acting like a bucking bronco. The parade formed in front of the Carnegie Public Library, and then it was supposed to go about 6 blocks to the T. Eaton store, where the judges' stand was. It seemed like a million kids were there, with every kind of pet you ever saw. One little boy, about 5 years old, was leading a Clydesdale horse as big as an elephant, and the horse had Baby on the blanket it was wearing. If that thing was a baby, I hoped to eat it. There were lots of goats, and on a hot day, and you could smell goats all over Saskatoon. Some of the girls were wheeling cats along in baby carriages, and the cats were wearing silly hats, and were pinned under lacy covers. Some of them were yowling, fit to scare the dead. There were more dogs than you could shake a stick at, every kind of dog you ever heard about, and a lot of kinds that nobody ever heard about. Right in the middle of the parade was a boy leading a pet skunk on a string. He had the middle of the parade all to himself, too. Nobody was crowding him. There were pet rabbits, ducks, chickens, geese, a couple of pigs, and a bunch of pedigree calves. There was even one little boy carrying a quart jar full of water with a bunch of tadpoles swimming around in it. You'd expect lots of trouble, what with all the animals and the fact that it was a hot day and everybody was excited and there was so much noise. But there really wasn't much trouble. There were dog fights, of course, and one dog, who wasn't even in the parade at all, made a go for a cat in a baby carriage, and that stampeded one of the goats. But some salesmen from the store were in the parade, too, and they got things quieted down, though one of them got bitten on the leg a little bit. It took about an hour for our outfit to get opposite the judges' stand. There were 5 judges, some men and some women. The mayor of Saskatoon was one of them. There were 2 Mounties beside the stand, dressed up in their red coats. A lot of parents were jammed up against the stand, too, so they could cheer if their kids won a prize. I had a good look at the parade by then, and there wasn't an outfit that had a patch on ours. We were sure to win a good prize, and I figured it would be first prize. We had a little trouble, though, when we got to the stand, because Rex was so tired he just lay down and wouldn't get up again. But that only made the judges laugh, and they came down from the stand to take a look at our entries. I overheard one of the women judges tell the other woman that ours was the best rig she'd seen, and, "Isn't that cute the way it's decked out like a real circus?" The first prize seemed to be right in our pockets when the president of the T. Eaton store, who was also one of the judges, saw the shoebox on top of the second wagon. "Hello," he said. "Now, here's a good idea. Look at this, Sam. These boys have a special pet in reserve. That's what I call smart merchandising." Well, of course, everyone crowded around to see what the special pet was, and Bruce, with a silly smile on his dopey face, untied the box and lifted up the lid. What was in the box was a rattlesnake. I guess you can imagine what happened next. All the people shoving and pushing to get away from us got the animals upset, and they began to stampede too. The skunk got crowded into a storefront, and that scared him, and he did what skunks always do when they get scared. There were calves and goats going every which way, and the dogs all went crazy and started chasing anything that ran. And that was everything there was. Our 2 cages got upset and squashed, and all the gophers and white rats went skittering off under people's feet. Wall climbed up on top of my head and kept beating his wings so I couldn't see too much of what was happening. But I could still hear it. Women were screaming, and one of the Mounties had hauled out his big revolver, and his other one never stopped blowing his silver whistle. All you could hear was yells and howls and barks and screams and yowls. I tell you, there's never been anything like it in Saskatoon for 100 years. We didn't stick around any longer than we could help. We saved the wagons, our 2 dogs, the owls, and that darn snake. Bruce grabbed the shoebox the moment the ruckus started, and stuck to it like a burr, until we got back to my place. "Gee," he said, as we were getting a drink from our garden hose. "If I'd lost that old snake, I'd have got my britches tanned from here to Mexico. It belongs to a hired man, and it's been his pet for 15 years, ever since he was a cowboy down in Cypress Hills. It's so old it hasn't any teeth, nor any poison either, but he sure is fond of it all the same. It sleeps right with him in his bunk." I still think we should have won first prize.